Support for this program comes from Petersburg Flower Farm, with delivery of fresh bouquets available. Open noon to 5, Friday through Sunday at 6 Rory's Road. More information at 907-518-4363 or Petersburg Flower Farm on Facebook.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them.
Good afternoon and welcome back to In the Garden. I'm your host, Daniel Rowan Tucker. Spring is here and it's wonderful. I went out the road on Sunday for an Easter picnic, and it was just amazing seeing the meadows at Blind Slough. All those huge wetlands were just brilliant emerald green, dotted with bright, bright yellow skunk cabbage flowers. And the air is just full of sweet spring smells. I love it. I wanted to come back to our conversation last time about soils, because it's so important. Soil is everything in the garden, and it's how the plants grow, and ultimately it's how animals and people grow too. If you look at terrestrial ecosystems, everything comes from the soil, so it's important stuff. And just wanted to touch back on the basics. You know, there's a broad spectrum of different minerals that we need in the soil and that we need in our diets as well as people. And so it's really crucial to get that nutrient density in our food. And so much of what's lacking in today's produce comes from the fact that a lot of farming these days relies on primarily nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium inputs, the NPK, and that will give you a big plant, but without all the other minerals being in balance, it's lacking in flavor. And that's why everybody knows your homegrown tomato is going to taste better than anything you can find in the store, not just because it's at its prime ripeness, but also because your home compost with the shrimp shells from when you went shrimping, and the crab shells, and the, you know, all of your carefully saved and hoarded little odds and ends that went into your compost, and compost tea preparations, all of that is going to be a lot more nutritious for that plant than probably what's being applied on a very large scale commercial tomato farm somewhere. So it pays to really fertilize well for flavor. And that also factors into all of the other compounds that the plant makes. So every plant has many, many different compounds that it creates, things like alkaloids, tannins, flavonoids, anthocyanins, all those different things that give vegetables and fruits all their flavor and their different nutritious qualities. Some of these things are also poisonous. The alkaloids may be part of a plant's defense system. But in order for that plant to create that broad spectrum of all of its different compounds, its whole phytochemical toolbox, it needs to have minerals. It needs to have a really well mineralized soil. So as the soil, you know, on a spectrum of soil fertility, as the soil is less and less ideal, the plants will be less and less able to provide themselves with all those different compounds, and they'll be more and more vulnerable to pests and diseases and other things like that. Whereas a plant that's really optimally nourished from the soil, it has a much better ability to defend itself from insects that are trying to eat it, for example, because it can make this full range of all these powerful compounds that often ward off things that are trying to eat it. And basically, there are proportions of different minerals, and the one we need the most of around here is calcium to balance the soil And because it rains so much, the rain slowly brings down the pH of the soil. It makes the soil more acidic. So it's kind of a constant battle to lime the soil and bring the pH back up and keep calcium abundant. But there's a lot of great resources. All of your shells and bones and crab shells and clam shells and things like that, those are slow release forms of calcium. So the lime that you can get down at Hammer and Wecon, that kind of agricultural lime that's either powdered or prilled, that's the fast acting, you know, you'll see results within the year or even within the season. Wood ash is also very fast acting, although it's more tricky with wood ash because you don't know exactly what's in it. But those are our quick ways to raise the pH. But then the shells and bones and things come in because they are very, very slow to break down, but they slowly break down over the course of decades. And that can be really nice because our rainfall is such a constant factor. It's good to have those slow release sources of calcium just kind of trickling away into the soil, and that's really helpful. So I recommend soil testing if you really want to know what's going on with your garden. I got some testing done at Logan Labs in Ohio. You can look them up. They're a very reputable soil testing lab. But there are many others. It's also referred to as agronomy. Anyone who bills himself as an agronomist is someone who can interpret a soil test for you and make specific recommendations, because there's a lot of chemistry and a lot of math to get into with that. But a couple of resources that I wanted to recommend. There's a great book called The Ideal Soil by Michael Estera. And it's a little bit dry. It's a little bit for kind of a soil geek like me. But I found it really, really fascinating. It really breaks down how soils work and how all those different minerals work together for plants. There's also a book called The Intelligent Gardener by Steve Solomon. And that book I know is at the library, unless somebody's checked it out right now. And Steve Solomon basically takes Michael Estera's work in The Ideal Soil and makes it a little bit more accessible and entertaining. And Steve Solomon was for a long time kind of one of the main garden gurus in the Pacific Northwest, and informed a lot of people. And so, yeah, that's another great book, The Intelligent Gardener by Steve Solomon. Another one I want to recommend is The Farm as Ecosystem by Jerry Brunetti. And this is really in the same vein of the soil science of the other two books I just mentioned, but on a kind of a broader view towards farming. But Brunetti really breaks down how each of the different minerals benefits plant and animal life, from copper, manganese, magnesium, zinc, iodine, all these different things, even in their tiny trace amounts, play really crucial roles. And so it helped me a lot to understand that by reading his book. Another one more book that I want to put out there, What's Wrong with My Plant by David Deardorff and Catherine Wadsworth. And this is a book that really should be out there more widely. I don't know if our library has it. I'll have to recommend it to them. But you know how when you have a plant and it just doesn't look quite right, and maybe it's turning brown a little bit at the tips of the leaves, or maybe it's all turning yellow, or, you know, there's so many different ways that plants can look kind of odd or you know, be afflicted by different things. Well, this book, What's Wrong with My Plant, is like an encyclopedia of all of those ailments. And it has a key that breaks down step by step. Okay, you know, the leaf is turning purple, and, you know, it's got little holes around the edge, or whatever the case may be, and it'll guide you through a diagnosis and say, okay, it could be a phosphorus deficiency, or it could be a shot hole fungus, or it could be, you know, all these different things. And really, really interesting, really useful to have around, because as you spend a lot of time in the garden, you get really tuned into what's going on with your plants. And I know I do, at least. I spend a lot of time looking at plants. But when the soil is really dialed in, then you'll see those plants just radiate health and vitality. They'll be bigger and greener. And so knowing what the really healthy version of a plant looks like, I think is really important for gardeners, because it gives you a sense of where your plants are. And if you can look at a kale plant and say, yes, that is exactly what a healthy, vigorous kale plant should look like in this climate. You know, it's huge, it's dark green, it's bursting with vitality. Or, you know, maybe it's not quite as big as it could be. Maybe the leaves aren't quite as dark as they could be. You know, it's got a little bit of brown at the tips, or yellowing, or, you know, little clues to let you know that something's off and it needs to be investigated further. So, yeah, just some food for thought. And, yeah, feel free to call in 907-772-3808. Would love to hear any questions. Yeah, so I just wanted to tell another story in the vein of beautiful, huge, healthy plants that radiate vitality. Years ago, when I lived on San Juan Island, there was a place on the island down by a beach and down below a farmer's field, like a pasture, and a creek flowed through the pasture. And down where the creek flowed to the beach, probably bringing lots of runoff of, you know, maybe cow manure and other nutrients that were in that pasture. But right above the salt spray line at the beach, there was this big patch of some kind of wild mustard, you know. And mustard is a brassica, the same genus as so many of our vegetables, like kale and broccoli and cabbage and all of those wonderful things. So this wild mustard was growing there, huge 5-foot-tall plants with big, dark green leaves the size of dinner plates. And this plant just looked amazing. It was like the most vigorous, healthy-looking mustard plant that I had ever seen. And so I picked some of the leaves because, like all brassicas, the leaves are edible. I picked a bunch of those big dinner plate-sized leaves. We took them home that night and braised them, or just blanched them in steam, just steamed them, and with no seasoning at all, no salt, pepper, anything, no butter. They tasted amazing, just such a rich, savory, kind of almost a little bit sulfury, briny, mustardy flavor. Probably the best vegetable I've ever eaten. And, you know, how it got that way, I don't exactly know, but I suspect that being right above the beach in the salt spray, it was getting trace minerals from the salt water. And then right below, you know, that pasture, it was probably getting some nitrogen from the runoff and you know, some happy combination of minerals and nutrients there was just giving that plant everything it needed. So yeah, here's to finding more beautiful, healthy plants doing their best. And I think that's it for today, but we'll be back next week with more stories about plant health and soils and all the wonderful things we get into in the garden. And feel free to send me an email at daniel@icefieldfarm.com. That's my email address if you have any questions or ideas, topics you'd like to see addressed on the show. Would love to hear from you. Okay, thanks.
comes from Petersburg Flower Farm, with delivery of fresh bouquets available. Open noon to 5, Friday through Sunday at 6 Rory's Road. More information at 907-518-4363 or Petersburg Flower Farm on Facebook.